Blog Talk Radio.
Iced tea, stone cold. Calling on everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Hello, my name is Ice T. Can you spare a few seconds to learn about cold water washing with Tide?
Hi, my name is Steve. Did you know washing in cold can save you $100 a year on your energy bill?
Why wouldn't you turn to cold? It helps the environment.
What? Because Stone Cold said so. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold.
Hello, this is Vanilla.
Vanilla Ice.
Ice, Ice, baby.
This is a cold call.
I'm busy.
Stop. Collaborate.
And listen.
All right, I'm listening.
We're on a mission to get everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
It saves you $100 a year on your energy bill.
If hot's a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Word to your mother.
Word to your mother.
You know his mother?
Mr. T here.
Mr. T.
This is a cold call.
Yeah, what y'all want?
Will you turn to cold washing with Tide?
What's your jibber-jabber?
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
So Mr. T can wash his Hanes teas in cold.
You can save up to $100 on your energy bill.
Mr. T will turn to cold, and so will this fool.
I turn to cold.
You know, technically, you're Mr. T.
Technically, Steve.
This was a cold call.
This is Annie.
Annie Murphy.
This is a cold call.
We're calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Unsubscribe.
Wait, wait, wait. This helps the environment.
And saves you money.
Oh, the environment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the trees and the shrubs. How much money?
$100 a year on your energy bill. It's like getting paid for doing nothing.
I will take that money for the environment.
This was a cold call.
Hello.
Hello, Mark Messier.
It's Messier.
Mark Messier.
Mess-C-A.
This is a cold call.
Calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Yeah, guys, I've been doing it for years.
Really?
Saves me $100 a year on my energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great and cold.
Tell me more.
Washing in cold helps the environment.
Hey, how would you like a job at a call center, my man?
Absolutely not.
Testimony, everybody, how God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
When it's genuine.
Yes.
I had my share of love abuse, manipulated, and its strength
misused.
And I can't help but to give God
glory.
When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all. I got a story to tell.
And I know you
favored
me.
Because
my enemies did try, but they couldn't triumph over me.
Yes, they did try.
But it didn't work.
I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny. Because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love
is patient.
Love is kind.
Love is felt
most
when it's genuine.
I had
a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it.
and took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today when I think about all I've been through, that I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me, because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me. My character, my integrity,
my faith in God, he favored me.
But it would not fall, would not bend,
won't compromise.
God favored
me.
I spoke life and prosperity. I even spoke health. He favored me. They whispered about me. They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me. My character,
my faith in God.
He favored me. It will not fall. Not gonna bend.
Won't compromise.
God favors
me. I speak life.
I speak prosperity.
And I speak health.
God favors
me. They whisper.
They whisper.
They conspire.
They told their lies.
But God favors
me.
My character.
My character.
My integrity.
My faith in God.
Everything was in question. But he favored me. I promised him that I wouldn't compromise. Although I was going through, and I spoke life,
and
I spoke prosperity,
and
I spoke health. See,
Holy Dynasty, Nigeria.
Huh?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Working. Can you hear me?
On air now.
Hello. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Working Done. This is Pastor Cat welcoming you to another product of Beverly Nation, broadcasting to you live out of Lagos, Nigeria. And listen, I want you to sit back, get ready for another exciting broadcast tonight on The Work Is Done, where tonight we're talking about stop rejecting correction. Stop rejecting correction. You know, those of you that have been following The Work Is Done over the last, year plus, You know, I am someone, you know, who has the title of pastor, but who tries to be as real as possible. You know, one of the things I strive to do is live what I teach, live what I preach, you know, while also explaining and, you know, giving you to understand that I am by no means perfect. Far from it. But Tom, it doesn't mean that I don't strive to live the way that I teach and preach. So, you know, I had to understand, just like the centurion in the Bible, because I've been in many areas in my life where I've been both subordinate and leader. You know, and one of the things that the centurion talked about in the Bible, you know, for those of you who are familiar with that in Matthew chapter 5. I believe it's in the book of Matthew. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, where Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, starting at verse 5, Matthew chapter 8, where this centurion, you know, Jesus is coming through the neighborhood, and the centurion sees him, and he goes to Jesus, and he asks him to heal his servant. And Jesus is like, yeah, sure, you know, I'll come to your house. But the centurion's like, man, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word. Just speak the word, because I am a man under authority. So here he is. He's a captain, but he's also a man under authority. So he has, even though he has reached a level in his life where he is now placed over people, he's like, I have people under me. I tell this one to go, he goes. I tell this one to do this, he does it. You know, so he understands what it means to be both subordinate as well as supervisor. And my point to that is, just because you achieve some type of success, just because you achieve some level of authority, does not mean that you can no longer be corrected. And people, I believe that there are a lot of people who just miss that. You miss it because now, you know, and I saw that, you know, even, you know, being a firefighter and coming up through the ranks, you know, being promoted, making lieutenant, I would see people who you can tell they were probably bullied in their lives. They, no one paid them any attention. And now that they have this rank, now that they have this authority, they walk around beating their chest because they want everybody to know that they are the ones in charge, and you can't tell them anything. You know, they can make mistakes, but you can't tell them that they're wrong. They have reached this point now where they no longer receive correction, and that is a very dangerous place to be. You know, coming up, I know many of you that are listening out there, you know, you were growing up and, you know, you may have had arguments with your parents, you know, things weren't going as you wanted them to go. And the first thing came out your mouth, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I turn 18, which meant what? Nothing. Because only thing that changed was the day. Your situation didn't change because you still weren't independent. You still weren't self-sufficient. You couldn't take care of yourself. The only problem you were having was that you didn't want to receive correction. You didn't want anybody telling you what to do. That once you reached this magical age of 18 or 21, that somehow that meant you no longer had to be subjected or submissive to authority. And you found out how wrong you were, you know? And that's why I like the story of the centurion in the Bible in Matthew chapter 8, where he's telling Jesus, you know, he says, I'm a man under authority. But here he is. He's the commander. He's one of the commanders in the army. But yet he recognizes, I am also a man under authority. That means I have people over me that I have to answer to. And it doesn't even matter. You can be self-sufficient right now. You can say, man, I have my own business. I'm my own boss. And you think you have nobody to answer to. Well, you're lying to yourself. Because even if you have a business and, you know, you're providing a product or you're providing a service, you have people that you have to answer to. You have to answer to your consumers. Because if they don't like your product or your service, then they won't patronize your business. And then you'll be out of business, you know, still pounding your chest saying that you're in charge. But you're in charge of what? If, you know, there's a saying that if you're a leader and nobody's following you, all you're doing is taking a walk. And you can never put yourself in a situation where you refuse to receive correction. You refuse. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. In other words, don't get mad at God when he's correcting you. Now, again, many of you who have, followed The Work Is Done have heard me say that I know that I'm not the pastor for everybody. I don't hoop and holler. I don't perform. I don't try to get you emotionally stirred. But what I do endeavor to do is kick knowledge to you so that you'll take your understanding to another level, that you'll have this awareness of not only who God is, but what God expects from you in order for him to bless your life on a continual basis. And see, and part of that is understanding that, there are rules and regulations for being in the kingdom. Just like there are rules and regulations that if you're a parent that you establish in your home, just like there are the rules and regulations that your parents established in your home. Amen. In their home when you were coming up, there are rules and regulations for everybody. There's never a time where you don't have to follow rules and regulations. If you think that you don't, then get in your car and try to drive, 100 miles best way and see if the police won't stop you. You'll have to answer for that. They will correct you, in other words, by giving you a ticket. Now, you may try to fight it or whatever, but there's correction that takes place. And if correction can take place in the natural world, then you best believe that correction will take place in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of God. And that's why Proverbs is telling us, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't get mad at God when he's trying to correct you. Don't get mad at the man or the woman of God when they're speaking on God's behalf, bringing correction. And it's sad because people have really gotten to the point now, especially in this day and time, where they don't want to be corrected. You don't want to hear the truth. The Bible tells us in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. It says it shall make you free. The truth. But what truth do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the truth of God's word when it tells you that you're wrong? Or would you rather hear the man or woman of God just appease to you and tell you what you want to hear? Because that has become your truth. I want to live my life this way, and anybody tells me that anything contrary to that, I will only surround myself with people who are saying what I want to hear. My wife and I, we binge watched different shows, and we were watching this one show, some of you probably heard of it, called Married at First Sight. Now, this one couple of color, she comes down the aisle and they get married. And what it is you go to these experts, they hook you up with somebody, but you don't meet them until you're actually at the altar getting married, which is a legitimate legal marriage. And this guy, he went through with it, but he was not physically attracted to the woman. But yet, he consummated the marriage more than once, but then told the experts, like, I'm not physically attracted to her, and I want to end the marriage. So he met with his pastor, and, he was really immature. And then when the pastor's telling him, man, you got to honor your vows and do what you promised, he didn't want to hear that. He, like, I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Why? Because he wasn't saying what he wanted him to hear. He wasn't saying it. The pastor wasn't saying what this guy wanted to hear. So because of that, he shut him off. How many of you have done that? How many of you have changed, left one church just to go to another church, left that church to go to another church, all because you never want to receive correction? But then you'll wind up finding a church that says what you want to hear only because the only thing they're worried about is putting butts in seats and money in offering. That's it. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about your salvation. So they'll tell you, you can come in, be who you want, live what you want, how you want, say what you want, do what you want, just as long as you keep coming, putting your butt in that seat so it looks like our church is full for when we do our broadcast, and then give your tithes and offerings. And they care nothing about where your soul will end up in eternity. Hey, this is The Work Is Done. We're being real tonight. Call in, you know, and let me know what your thoughts are, and we'll be back right after this.
Seems there's no way out. I know the issue seems unchangeable, and that there's no reason to shout, but the impossible is God's chance to work a miracle, a miracle. So just know it ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's done. No, 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 it ain't over until God says it's over. Keep fighting until your victory is won.
All right, we are back here with The Work Is Done, and we're talking about stop rejecting correction. I mentioned to you that the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, the discipline, because, you know, God disciplines those whom he loves. And I wanted to read to you in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 5, I want to read from 5 to probably 10. And I want you to listen carefully to what this is saying, all right? It says, then you have forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. And there are a lot of times when people, you know, they go through some things, they go through challenges, and those challenges are designed now to increase your faith, you know, to increase your trust in God, or to get you to even turn to God, that you can depend on him and call on him. But people give up in the midst of the trial because they focus on the problem instead of the problem solver. Amen. Or at the same time, you cause things to happen in your life because of your disobedience, because your lack of, you know, intimacy with God, because your lack of communication, because you don't have a prayer life. You don't try to live godly. You don't try to live holy. And then when that happens, the devil comes in and he wreaks all kind of havoc in your life. And you have people trying to tell you that what you're doing is wrong, but you don't want to hear it. Now you mad at God, you mad at the world, you mad at your family, but it's all because you're the one who's out of line, you're the one who's out of the will of God, and you have set it in your heart, you have set your mind to the fact that no one can tell you that you're wrong, all right? So he says, don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. No different from your earthly parents. It is no difference. If we look at God as our heavenly father, then we have to expect for him to treat us like a father would treat his children. I'm sure if you have children and you are a decent, good parent, when you know, birthdays and Christmas come around, or just when your child just asks you for things, if they're not doing their chores, if they're not going to school and getting good grades, do you reward bad behavior? How many of you can honestly say, I just give my child whatever they ask for, you know, regardless of their behavior? And you have parents out there that do that. And those parents, you can't even tell them that they're wrong. Kid go out here and act a complete, utter fool. But the parent don't see nothing wrong with that, because that parent doesn't know how to receive correction. So therefore, they don't know how to teach that kind of correction to their children. Amen. All right? And so look what it says. Verse 7. He says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? And we see that. We see that. We see that in schools. I've seen parents who go up to the school because the school calls say your child is acting out, and the parent goes up there and defends that child's behavior, knowing that child probably acts worse than that at home. But you don't correct and discipline him at home, but yet you send him to school and expect the teacher to do your job. See, I know I'm talking the truth out there that some of y'all don't want to hear, but it's okay. All right? It says, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Again, problem. Some of you don't even respect your parents. You'll sit out there, you know, I'll be 58 in December. I'll be 58 years old. My mother, I can go to my mother's house right now and still have to abide by the rules of her house. I don't disrespect her. I don't use profanity in her presence. Amen. I don't raise my voice to her. I don't speak out of turn. I don't go in her refrigerator without asking permission. Why? Because that's how I was raised. When I was raised, my mother didn't cuss at me. She didn't, you know, belittle me and all that thing. Now, she whipped my butt when I was wrong. Absolutely. She got that belt. She got that strap. She got that extension cord, whatever she can get her hands on. She disciplined me. It wasn't child abuse. It was discipline. But because of that discipline, because of that correction, it allowed me to be the man that I am today. And you got these people, oh, you shouldn't discipline your children. Oh, yeah, okay. My children got disciplined. And I don't care who out there listening don't agree. Well, you should never hit your child. That's why you had these children out there raising their hands to these parents. That's why you had these children out here cussing their parents out. Parents scared to walk in their own house, scared to live in their own house because it's the children that's ruling and reigning in the house. Not in my house, not in God's house. And we sitting here reading how God don't even play that. But yet, you sit up here and allow these kids to rule and run rampant with no discipline, no correction. Look at what it says here. Look at what it says. And then and I'm almost done, and we're going to go right to the call line. All right? It says, since we respect the earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Discipline is never enjoyable when you're going through it, but if you allow it to take place, it can reap for you benefits and rewards. Let's go to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done with Pastor Kev. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, peace, and abundant divine blessings. My name is Huni Bakatun, a.k.a. the Magic Man Haru. Right now, I just got really caught up and listening to the word that you're giving tonight, man of God. First of all, it's great hearing your tone of voice and really, really loving your delivery tonight. And, so, you know, I'm definitely going to call in to show my divine love and support. You know, when it comes to discipline, I totally, totally agree with what you're saying. And I'm one of those, especially those that was pretty much close to me, my family, and relatives. It takes very special people. I'm not saying I'm bad Leroy Brown or anything like that, right? But I notice my best friend, let me use this for an example when it comes to discipline. One thing I learned throughout my travels, I was walking through the streets of Nam at that time, and I was acting bad one night. when I actually beat up a friend of ours that was hanging out with my brother. I was stricken with some jealousy because it seemed like him and my older brother, the only other son of my mother, had more of a relationship than me and my blood brother. Okay?
Mm.
So I felt a sense of envy and jealous over this guy. So I beat him up one night, and, of course, my brother, he was laying into me. But it took another brother that told me that I was wrong. He not only let me know that he loved me, but I was wrong for my actions that night. And I'm just putting that out there because that to me, I use that as a measuring rod for those people who's real and those people who's not, especially when it comes to the type of personality that I have, you know. And trust me, I got mad at the fact that he was coming at me like that, but I also was man enough to admit that I was wrong. Okay?
Right.
And so I definitely wanted to put that out there. So when it comes to discipline, I comprehend that. And those of us who's called through ministry or service, if we don't do that, we're under strict discipline. And that's what I'm actually receiving from the message that you're delivering from us tonight. I just wanted to add my little $9.99 to what you're already giving, sir.
Amen. Well, you know, it is always appreciated. For those of you that don't know, that is the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's trying to Huni Bakantun, otherwise known as the Magic Man. We thank him for his insight, his comments tonight. And I'm going to address some of the things that he said, expound on that a little bit more, because it was very intuitive and powerful. And we'll be back with The Work Is Done right after this.
I just want to make it to heaven. Just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river.
Father,
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, oh, I just want my name written. Oh Lord. Written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah, yeah. And when this life is over, just wanna have eternal life, Lord.
All right. That's one of the things that we should all, that's one of the things we should all be striving to hear him say is well done. Hey, this is The Work Is Done. And before the break, we were on the phone with the Magic Man, Honey Bakuntun, and I want to just expound on some of the things that he said, because he talked about that discipline thing, that correction. And it's funny how, you know, your parents can tell you something and you won't receive it. But when it comes from somebody else, you know, the very things that they were telling you when you were coming up, how to conduct yourself, how to live, how to act, you know, you didn't receive it from them. But then when somebody else comes along to tell you the very same thing, now you receive it. See, all of that is that you have to humble yourself and be willing to submit. Just be willing to submit to the authority and the leadership of those who are placed over you, knowing that they have your best interests at heart for the most part. Sometimes, you know, I'm not ignorant. I know that, you know, not everybody, not every parent is a good parent and had the well-being of their child, you know, at the forefront of their mind. But those that are, you should learn how to submit to that authority. And that leadership, it shouldn't have to come from somebody else to tell you the exact same thing that they were already telling you. Amen. All right, we're going to go back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Reverend Perry. My name is Mo Garman. I'm a new intern at O&E.
Good evening and welcome to the O&E family.
Thank you. I've been enjoying your show. It takes a lot of humility, I think, to receive the correction that you're talking about this evening.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It takes for you to be willing to humble yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and have that humility and understanding that you don't have all the answers. You don't know it all.
Exactly. You know? That's what I took away from your message after I stopped laughing at myself, because you were talking about being 21 and thinking you knew everything. I had to peel myself off the floor. I was like, that's true. That's true.
And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there.
That's right.
That's why I took it back to that young teenager thinking, oh, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I'm 21. Thinking that when that happened, you were magically going to have all the answers.
Correct.
And you get, when you finally got to that age, you realize, wow, I still don't know what I thought
right.
I knew.
My father used to call it legally stupid.
Legally stupid. Now I'm at the bar that for you, Dad. You are just legally stupid right now. So yeah, tell Dad, if he's still with us, tell him thank you that Pastor Kevin is going to use that. You are just legally stupid. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in. Tell everybody when your show is so that they'll know when to tune in.
Sure. My show is going to be on November 5th. It's called Breaking the Silence with Mo Garman.
Breaking the Silence with Mo Garman. So, and that's happening on November 5th. So y'all make sure y'all call in and support our new O&E family member, Mo Garman. Amen. Thank you so much. We're going to go right back to the caller. Call lines. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Peace and blessings, my favorite pastor.
Oh, that sounds like my favorite sister, Bessie.
Yes,
how are you tonight?
I'm all right now that I'm listening to you.
Amen, amen. What do you have for us tonight?
Oh, you know I always got something. But I just want to tell you real quickly about I was on the bus, and this elderly man got on the bus. And, you know, it was a group of young children with the books on the bags and things like that. So the seats in the front are for the elderly and the handicapped. So the young man, the elderly man, got on the bus and he wanted to sit down. The seat, there was an empty seat and then there was another seat. So the young man basically almost tried to push the old man out of the way so he could sit down. I lost
no
it.
No respect.
I lost it. I said, I immediately told him, I said, young man, I said, you let this elderly man sit down. I said, you should be shaming yourself. And I, before I know it, I called him, oh, Lord, I called him an ignorant wench.
And that was
everybody was looking at me like, she actually said this to this young man. And, you know, this is what's going on in our world today where a lot of children are disrespectful to the elderly. That was the thing that I wanted to say. I just wanted to show you that part. But I also wanted to bring to you two scriptures. Is that all right?
It is all right.
I want to bring to you Revelation 17.
Okay.
And it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the forehead, and that no man might buy, sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Why does people think that the mark is only three sixes on your head or three sixes on your hand? Now, what I'm looking at, Pastor, your hand is connected to your arm. Your head is connected to your body. Why would everybody assume literally that the mark would be just three sixes? It's a whole system of evil. And,
absolutely.
I saw something on the internet where they're trying to make a law in Washington, D.C., that the elderly and the handicapped, if they do not receive the vaccine, they will lose their Social Security.
Mm.
They're trying to put that in law now.
Wow.
And I also saw a state in Germany that said that the people, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go in the store and buy no food. So why do people think that the mark is only 6-6 in your hand and in your forehead? It's a whole system.
It's a whole Babylonian system.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that technology is going, you know, it's not going to be as simple as 3-6. You know, they talk about putting microchips in people and being big brothers watching, being able to track. And even with these smartphones that we have, you know, even now there are apps when they pop up, oh, we want to track, you know, track, send tracking information. Do you allow this? No, I don't want you tracking anything that I do.
Yes.
Because, and it's a way of big brother, shall we say.
Yes.
Controlling
and
the masses.
And they took a mother's child from her because she was not vaccinated. Yes. So that's why I'm saying a lot of the pastors have taught in the past that it was the literal 666. And I'm just saying to the people out there, Pastor, that it's more than just that number.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's going to be something that we're definitely going to have to address, you know, as a topic that I would be willing to address at a later time, you know, because that is something that we need to discuss.
Yes.
Because
and,
all of the end time,
Oh, I'm sorry. The other scripture was, I'm trying to do this fast so I don't get off, stay on too long. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy in the last days, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream
dreams.
On my servants and on my handmaidens. So that means that the young people, the women, the men, also, and the children will be prophesying. And I looked up prophesy, and it says to reveal by divine inspiration, to predict, to foreshow, to reveal the will of the message of the Creator, to predict the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a group of people think that women are not involved in the Most High's word.
You and I, we could talk about that all night. And yes, I know we are pressed for time. We have another call on the line. I'm going to tell you that I 100% agree with the word. And these people out here who are still living in old times talking about women can't do this and women can't do that, the Bible says that there is no difference between Jew and Greek. God shows no partiality. He shows no favorites. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, and he calls some to be pastors and some apostles and some prophets and some of that. He didn't say he only called men.
Mm,
and people need to stop with that foolishness. They need to stop it. But see, that's part of that truth. That's part of that correction that these people don't want to hear because they're so set in their ways. It's just no different from when Jesus came on the scene. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were so set in their ways, they didn't even see the truth when the truth was talking to them face to face.
Exactly.
Didn't even want to see the truth. But yes, but we would have to, we can definitely get into that. Matter of fact, I might do that next time, women in the pulpit or something to that effect. Amen. I thank you so much for calling. And we will address those concerns that you brought up tonight. Amen.
And thank you so much, Pastor. I think you are just wonderful. And you know I love you. And thank you. I'm going to continue to listen to the show.
Amen. Thank you. Love you so much as well. All right, come on. Let's get back to the call line. We have another call on the line. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, this is Chinchilla Domicia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. How are you tonight, Pastor Taylor?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you this evening?
I am fine. I am enjoying your show about correction. This is, like, so awesome. And I heard you when you were talking about, you know, when you were a kid, and well, not when you were a kid, but when you, as an adult. How even as a grown man that you respected your parents and did not curse in front of them. And I commend you for that. And, you know, I'm the same way. I don't curse in front of my mom. My dad passed in 2017, but when he's alive, I didn't curse in front of him or any adult that's, you know, that's older than me because it's just wrong. And today, it's such a shame with the children today because they don't care. They will curse in front of any and everybody, their own parents, the teachers, the principal, elderly people on the bus, and everywhere else. It is so sad. And I recall a time I was on a bus, and I heard Sister Betsy, I think it was her, she had a bus experience, but on a bus one time, I was on this bus, and there were two young ladies. They were teenagers coming from school. And they were sitting there just talking, chit-chatting, and there were other kids on the bus, two teenagers that were talking, and they were using so much profanity. And it was so sad. And the girls sitting right across from me, they were talking. And their conversation, every time they got to a word that used profanity when they were talking about somebody else and what someone else said, they would use the initial of the curse word. And I sat there like, wow, I was really impressed with those two young ladies. And I think that was like the last month of school this particular year. And then at the end of June, I had put out an ad for teenagers to come work for my summer Bible camp. And so one of the young ladies that was on the bus that day, she was one of the ones I interviewed and hired. And I'm like, wow.
Man.
Aren't you the young lady that was on the bus that day? And she was like, yes. And then I was telling her, she's like, oh, my goodness, you heard us? I said, yes, and you didn't curse. And so I got the opportunity to tell her mom, I'm like, oh, my God, I saw your daughter on the bus one day, and I told her the whole story. And she said, wow, thank you so much for sharing that with me. Because sometimes as parents, we really don't know what our children are doing or how they're behaving outside of the home. And so this was this lady's opportunity to know that her child was being, well, she, first of all, she trained her up in the way in which she should go, okay? And she was out in the street behaving in the same manner that her mother trained her to be. And I was so impressed by that. And then on the flip side, on another bus, there were two boys, well, a bunch of boys, as a matter of fact, teenagers and young men, all sitting down, and the bus was crowded. And so there were elderly women standing up, and even a pregnant woman with a little child. They're all standing up, and these young boys, they're sitting on the bus, sitting down. And I'm like, oh, no. And I looked at them. I said, you know what? I said, y'all need to get up and let one of these elderly women sit down and let the pregnant lady sit down. And a couple of them looked at me like I was crazy. And I said to them, I said, your mother, did she not teach you any manners? And then the bus started laughing, but the boys got up. And I'm the type of person, if I see a young person that is not doing something that they should be doing or doing something they should not be doing and disrespecting elderly people, I will say something. And we as adults, we should not be afraid to say something and correct or reproof a child or a teenager. You know, because as a child of God, we should not walk in that kind of fear. So we should speak to them because some children, they don't have parents to tell them anything or to teach them any manners or respect or nothing like that. So it takes us to do that when we see a child that's not doing the right thing, you know. And I love Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way in which they should go because when they're old, they won't depart. I love that scripture.
Right.
And another scripture, it's Proverbs 3:11-12, which says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. You know, which basically means that the job of a father, of a parent, is to correct their child. But we have many wayward children out here today, and it's just so sad. And, you know, people have to get back to God and get back to reading the Bible, get back to praying and not walking in fear. They need to get back to disciplining and correcting these children. And until they do that, we're going to continue to see all this violence among children because their parents are not correcting them, you know. And it's such a sad thing, Pastor Perry. But we have to keep our children, the young people, in prayer every day, because the devil is out to destroy them. And right now, he's doing somewhat a pretty good job, and we need more people to stand up for the kids. And I thank you so much for this conversation tonight about correction. And it's beautiful. Just keep on doing what you're doing, Pastor Perry.
Well, I thank you so much for your comments, and you're absolutely right. We need to just get back to basics. But the reality is that, you know, not everyone has the courage to have that voice to speak up. And sometimes it is fear. Sometimes it's just there's not a willingness to get involved because you don't know the reaction of these kids out here. And these kids
you know, they have no respect for life. They have no respect for their elders. And they will raise up on someone who they think is weaker than them. We're going to continue this conversation on The Work Is Done. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
You're love for me and forever to me.
Yes, we are back with The Work Is Done. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to you know, listen in tonight, calling in with such great comments. We're going back to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening, Pastor Perry. This is Commissioner Ebony Dawn Starks, also known as Davis. So how are you this evening?
Good evening. I am blessed and highly favored. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm definitely am enjoying the show. I just wanted to just shout out and first of all, just give you the support. Glad that you are back and feeling much, much better. I'm continuing to pray for you and your family.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to just mention not only what a great show you're having regarding children and having manners and us parents being more diligent in teaching our children. I don't want to use the word social etiquette, but respecting our elders and being accountable. I just honestly feel that support is required, especially with a great organization such as Oney Dynasty. We definitely need to do more support of one another because this platform helps in so many ways. It helps mentally, it helps emotionally, and it also even helps financially because if you take the steps and the advice that our Big Brother O gives us, you could do so much more than just be a host on a podcast. Also, it is so important that we just show that love to one another because it is also beneficial and especially in our Black community. We have to show support. And that's another thing that I kind of gathered with your topic. I grew up, and I'm 45, I grew up in a generation where, you know, if the neighbor saw you cutting up, they whipped your tail, sent you home, and your parents whipped your tail. I strongly believe that we need to bring that back. It takes a village, you know what I mean, for somebody to be disrespectful to an elderly person or not even have the decency to get up when, out of us on the bus and a pregnant woman is on the bus. You're carrying life. How dare you just sit down and allow somebody to stand? You know what I mean? And if they really knew, if they really knew all that goes on to carrying a child, us mothers laugh about it, joke about it during our pregnancy times. But for example, me, from the time I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter until the day I gave birth, she kept hitting a nerve in my thigh. So if I'm on that bus and she hits a nerve, I'm bellying over in pain, but nobody's going to help me. Nobody's going to offer me a seat. That's the most disrespectful thing. We're carrying life. We're carrying the next generation. If anything, I could be carrying your next president. And that's how you know what I mean? But then again, we shouldn't be surprised because with Joseph and Mary, they was like, we ain't got no room. You got to go out in the barn.
And you know, and everything that you're saying is spot on. But again, it's like I said, you know, this generation now has no respect for life. And a lot of times it's because they don't respect themselves because they were never taught to. When you have, you know, children having children, that's the problem right there. Because
we need to teach these kids to marry because you carry.
Exactly. But when the child rejects discipline and then goes and has a child, there's no way that they can instill something in that child that was never instilled in them, something that they rejected. So you just have this generational thing, this generational cycle that's going on where there is no correction. Everybody now wants to, you know, do what you want, be who you want to be, act the way you want to act, and it's okay with. And that's from a parental standpoint.
These parents
because,
are trying to be
You're trying to be the friend because that's the only thing you know how to be because you were never taught how to be a parent, you know. And I tell it's like, you know, when I was coming up, my dad wasn't in the house with us. My mother and my father, they separated. I think I might have been 2 years old. So I have no memory of my father ever living in the house with us. So I didn't see what a fruitful marriage was like. I didn't see what a husband was like to be a provider, a protector, and all those things. I never saw that. So when I got married,
but see, somebody like you, I'm sorry to interrupt you. See, that happened to my cousin, and he's a reverend. And somebody like the both of you, God still showed you what to do. I guarantee he put somebody in your life to show you this is how you do it.
Well, a lot of it, I had to lean on him. I had to lean on God because, you know, my wife and I, by his grace, we've been married now 32 years.
You don't
but
even,
I would say the first.
Old enough to be
I
married.
Would say the first, huh?
I said, you even look old enough to be married for 32 years. You look like you're about 32 yourself from your photos.
Oh, well, thank you. No, well, our oldest son is 40.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
But my point is, you know, not having that example in my life, when I got married, it was basically for the first, I would say, almost 10 to 13 years of our marriage, it was on-the-job training of me trying to figure it out because I had nothing to go on. I had nothing to say, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. And when you're dealing with these kids out here who aren't getting any kind of correction, even these adults out here who don't want to receive correction, they don't want to receive it on the workplace, they don't want to receive correction in church, they don't want to receive it from their man or woman of God because they have rejected any type of correction all their lives.
Well, no, I agree.
So now,
and then that even, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so now when you hear, you know, broadcast like this, when you hear messages like this, a lot, I can just see a lot of people, they probably turned it off. Uh-oh, he already tell me how I'm supposed to be, and can't nobody, no, I don't want nobody telling me nothing. And you still reject the knowledge. You still reject the correction.
No, this is absolutely true. And then even on level where grandparents don't want to be called grandparents, they want to be called grandmoms and Gigi's and Mimi. So I didn't come from that. My grandmothers were called grandma.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't accepting the fact that they were getting old, accepting this is a new season, this is a new chapter.
Yeah, so we got to, like you said, you know, we have to get back to this sense of community.
Yep,
where
absolutely.
Community looks out for each other. And until we get back to that, we'll continue to see the foolishness that we're seeing.
I completely agree with you, and I stand by that. Great, great show tonight.
Amen. We want to thank our O&E syndicated commissioner, Ebony Dawn Starks, for calling in tonight with her comments. Let's continue to go to the call lines. We have another call on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Pastor?
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Yes, hello.
If you commit.
How are you?
Oh, good. All right. How are you today? And
my name
is Antonio Bat. That's wonderful. I apologize for talking so fast since my transmission over my phone is a little odd. But I just wanted to say thank you very much for talking about the reason why the children seem to be disrespectful. And it's not that we know we're stereotyping them and say everyone is, but we know we're talking about the ones that don't grasp why they should be respectful. Even some of the younger adults, you would think, you know, and some catch the hint that they should be, and some they don't because maybe it's something that you have that they want, you know, like, a young lady may want a young fellow in your family or vice versa. A young fellow may want and so they have a tendency to step out of line, but they have to understand they're not at the age where they should be setting a bad example if they have young children itself because what they say, what goes around comes around. So I hate to see their children grow up to repeat some behavior that they are in denial of the fact that they have exercised. But as time goes on, you're supposed to become a better person and understand why you should extend some degree of respect to an adult that does not disrespect you. and give it some true thought and try to pray on it to yourself at least. So, you know, that way, as time goes on, maybe they will learn the true art of why they should practice what they preach, and they should learn things along the way to make things better, not only for themselves, but for their children. I mean, who doesn't want to hear something positive about your child? They don't have to hear about they're the most gorgeous child by no means on the earth. But it's right. A really proud thing when a parent can set that compliment on my child, knowing how to behave not only in public, but when it comes to basically extend themselves to those who especially deserve it. Thank you very much, Pastor. That's all I was hoping to say. And I hope you have a wonderful, you know, evening, you and your family. I understand you were away for a while, so it's good to see you back and in good health. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. God bless you as well. Thank you. I hope and pray that you have a blessed weekend as well. You know, I want to thank everybody that's called in so far. And here's the overall theme, I guess, to what everybody's saying. You know, we understand, especially when it comes to the kids, because that's kind of the direction that the topic took tonight. You know, respect starts in the home. That's where it starts. And if it doesn't start there, then it's hard-pressed to have it start somewhere else. That means, you know, God is going to send other people your way to speak into your life, to try to guide you, to try to encourage you. But when that happens, you still have to be humble enough to receive that. Because if it doesn't start in the home, it has to start somewhere. And that's where a lot of these kids and a lot of these adults. And if you're an adult, let me say this to you, and we're going to go to our next break. If you are an adult and you're cussing in front of your parents, you're out of line and you're out of order. That's right. Pastor Kev said it. If you're using profanity in front of or towards your parents, you are out of order. The first commandment with a promise is honor thy mother and thy father so that thy days may be long on this earth. Your days will be long. And I don't care if your mother was a crackhead. I don't care if your dad was in jail. You're still supposed to honor them regardless. And we'll be back with The Work Is Done.
Well, first of all, I want to honor all the callers that called in tonight, too. Of course, our commissioner has a show called Strictly Business. That was last night. Of course, Antonia Bassett, Informational Guru, you know, on Mondays, as well as our news forum anchor, Conchilla Jay, is on every week. And I want to honor them. Now, of course, I want to do something, Pastor, to honor my parents, you know, brought me up in the right way. And I'm so glad I found the Lord.
back with The Work Is Done, and we're going right back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Mr. Boston over here. Hey, my brother. How you doing tonight,
hey, Mr.
Pastor?
Hey, Mr. Boston,
you know, I'm
doing well.
Hey, I just had to step in for a minute, man. Good topic over here. You know, I just want to just say this, and then I'm going to get off and take my shower and go to bed. let me just say that some people take lightly the discipline of God, and at times, we are out of order. The parents are out of the fathers. The whole home is out of order. And so our children are out of order. And so I think the only way we can correct the disrespect, I mean, it don't necessarily have to be the disrespect in the home. It could just be the disrespect out in the world itself. But if we ever need to sit down with our children, it gives God the opportunity to open us up to spiritual discipline as he wills and not as we demand him to. But unless we open ourselves to him through our spiritual practices, we will miss him his coming altogether, because transformation and healing always begins in the place of desire. There always needs to be some deeper inner willingness to take a risk on God and Jesus and begin again and again, no matter what the pitfalls might be, you know. Sometimes our children are so unruly, we have a tendency to be scared of them, or we just give up on them, and they run rampant and wild, and we lose them. You know, we lose them. We wonder why the police is always shooting us, you know, and killing us. It's because we get to be unruly. You know, we don't adhere to, our children don't adhere to authority because they haven't been taught about authority. You feel what I'm saying? That's all I got to say.
Well, I thank you for calling in tonight. And his, again, comments are right on point. You know, here's the thing. You know, if you don't submit, first of all, you have to be willing to submit to God's authority. How do you do that? That means you have to sit and spend time with him. Same thing with your children. In order for your children to understand and respect authority, you have to spend time. You have to put in time with them. If you don't put in the time, you know, it's just like, Imagine you going to work and actually getting paid for the work that you did. If you went to work, and here's how the Bible puts it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap." And see, when people hear that, because they hear the word sow, they automatically think about money. Oh, they're talking about money again. No, it says whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So if you're sowing discord, dishonesty, if you're sowing disrespect, lack of authority, then that is what you're going to reap. If you're teaching that in your house, if you're displaying it, because children are mimickers. They mimic what the parents do. Your child is cussing because they hear the parent cussing. The parent is cussing the child out. The child goes out in the street and then talks the way the parent talks at home. The child is disrespectful in the street because there's no respect taught in the home. Ever a man sows, that shall he reap. That's why it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It starts with your relationship with God. That's where your respect starts. See, this is why the Bible, there are certain scriptures that should just resonate in your spirit. How can you say you love God but don't love your brother? You say you love God who you can't see, but you can't love your brother whom you do see. See, it don't make sense. You can't say you love God but hate your brother. You can't say I'm a child of God, but you don't discipline your kids. You can't say I'm a child of God, but you show no honor and respect to your parents. That's foolishness, and that's what we got to get away from, y'all. We got to get away from the foolishness. See, my job is to just keep it real, whether you want to hear it or not, whether you like it or not. Because that's how I honor God. That's how I honor the call that's on my life. Because my job is just not to say stuff to make you feel good. Because a part of love is discipline. That's a part of love. And that's why it says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise his discipline. Because he only does it because he loves you. If we don't love our children enough to tell them that they're wrong, if we don't love these adults out here to tell them that they're wrong, then this world is just on its way. Everything in here is just going to get worse. And it's already bad. It's already bad enough. But that's because people are just keeping to themselves and not willing to speak up just to correct somebody when they're wrong. That's just the work is done. We're going to bring on Brother O.
Servant of Christ, honoring my mother and father, understanding the gift that God gave me to be a provost of all people, and not only that, but be a provost of Ohnee Dynasty as a CEO. We want to thank Pastor Kevin Perry tonight for his word to be available and to be relevant tonight. There is no shows on Saturday night, but we come back on these stations with Chinchilla J and News Forum 9:30 Eastern daylight time on these ONE stations. And of course, Delhi Nation is advertising the ONE, which is all of Delhi and Ngozi Enterprise. Reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime One at devnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. All of Delhi Ngozi at both Pinterest, and Google Plus. Only Done in Millennium goes to your Facebook, as well as our business page, The Work Is Done, as well as The Historic. Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful programs tonight? Olaydaylay.com goes for my and gmail.com, and I am the 2021 International Internet Radio producer, Ronnie. The 2019 International Internet Radio disc jockey, Ronnie. But most importantly, guys, your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Delimelay goes here saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there. Again, our sailors and our soldiers and Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. When I say that, every night, they serve our country well, and they do a great job. And they're listening internationally, wherever they are, Japan, you know, wherever, the Middle East, they're there, and they listen. And I'll give a shout out to all of those great, great people that listen to us on a constant basis. This show is to help you survive this evil world. Let us not trespass against each other. Make sure that we honor each other and love and support our alumni as well as our active group. Let us support better. Show your voice. Support your show. Promote your show. And that's all of it. And now, the invitation to discipleship by the one and only Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry at this time, right here, on these O&E stations.
Hey, guys. You know, it is never my intention to be offensive when I do my broadcast. And if I have offended anyone, I truly apologize. But I don't apologize for speaking the truth, and I never will. I will never apologize for speaking the truth of God's word and doing what God has called me to do. But it's not meant to be offensive. It's meant, you know, to just open your eyes, open your mind to something different, a different way. And that way is God's way. If you haven't tried it, what do you have to lose? But more importantly, what is it that you have to gain? Because with God, there's always gain. You know, people, they, you know, my father passed on the 27th of September, and people are calling me, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. And I'm like, I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose any. I didn't lose my dad. I know where he is. And he's in a much better place now than he was when he was here. So, you know, I celebrate that. I celebrate the fact that he has gone on to glory. Where will you go? Let's solidify some things right now. Let's solidify your salvation. Let's make sure that if Jesus was to come back right now, that you would be ready to go and spend eternity with him. And this is not about playing games. It's simply giving him your heart. If that's you tonight and you say, I want to have this relationship, things my own way. I've been a self-made person. I've made, you know, positive steps, but something's always been lacking. Something's been missing. That's God is missing in your life. So if that's you tonight, just simply say, dear Father, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me now with your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you did that, if you said that prayer tonight, you know, God is ready to do some amazing things in your life. Amazing. I can't even describe it. One of my wife's girlfriends said, it's so sweet, I have a toothache. I got a cavity from all the sweetness of God. That's how good God is.
Amen. Hey, listen, I love you guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Thanks for all of those that have called in. Thank you to our military, my military family out there. I'm ex-Army, go Army. But thank you all across the world for taking the time, for taking the opportunity to listen in tonight. I love you. God bless you. And I'll see you here next time on The Work Is Done. God bless. Yesterday.